Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
In this AudioCast 34, let's talk about politics, oil, and Texas fracking, and what the frack is fracking. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. In full disclosure, I am doing this show a few days before the 2018 midterm elections, which almost seems like, gosh, a national election, really. And it really is, in a way, a reliving of all of the conundrum and frustrations that we experienced before the 2016 presidential elections, you know. And so I found myself a few days before the election in the great state of Texas, which we know is a very red state. But I interview someone who is kind of unique. He was from California. He is Latino. And even though he's coming from a very blue state, liberal part of the world, namely California, and particularly LA, he winds up working in the oil fields. He is a self-proclaimed independent, but he kind of sounds more of like a dire, hard Republican. And so what I've got to do is to try to get into a little bit of his head and heart, and you're going to find something rather unique, because I sure did. It really is about balance. So while this episode is being recorded prior to the midterm elections, I have no idea who's going to win between Beto and Cruz. And frankly, I'll even say it, I don't care. I kind of do care, so don't think that I am apolitical. I do have some strong political opinions. But I want to hear, more importantly, how America is going to survive after an election. Because in 2016, all hell literally broke loose. And it was almost like, kind of like a tsunami of emotions that came through. So what I want you to do is I want you to enjoy this episode. And even though it's going to challenge you on both the left and the right, because that's what independent thinkers actually do, is they actually challenge the extreme ultra-liberalism and the extreme ultra-conservatism that we have in our country. And hopefully we're going to walk away with something a little bit more precious than fossil fuel. So that's my little appetizer as I prepare you for a deep dish discussion where we talk about oil, what the frack is fracking, and more importantly, how do we maintain balance in a crazy world we live in, when we return with our deep dish discussion in just a moment. Hey, all you listeners, especially in the Texas area, I invite you to a special cruise with me, Select International, and Guadalupe Radio Network for a special Danube River cruise from Budapest to Prague on November 3rd through the 13th, 2019. It's going to be a fantastic event, and I can't wait for you to meet me and all of the people at Guadalupe Radio Network as we all travel together in pilgrimage and in style, satisfying what we're hungering for, not only great food, but faith that nourishes our soul. And the only way we can do that is if you join me on this pilgrimage November 3rd through the 13th. All you've got to do is call Select International Tours at 800-842-4842 or selectinternationaltours.com. Again, that's 800-842-4842. And I will see you on the Danube River. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deeper dish discussion. I am here with David Koss. He is a Texan. He is also a pipeline
mapper.
Pipeline Mapper.
Pipeline Mapper and Locator.
And Locator. In other words, he works with oil. And that's exactly when I talk with him about it, because there's a lot of questions. So tell me, first of all, what a Pipeline Mapper does. And by the way, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Well, there are lots of pipelines here in Texas, a lot of oil and gas lines, high pressure lines, a lot, which are unmapped, which means nobody has maps of where they are. No one knows where they are. So that creates a hazard when you're digging, especially when you're trenching for other pipeline. You hit that high pressure gas line with heavy equipment, it blows up, everybody dies. That's our job, is to map these lines, put them on a computer system, and then go out and mark them prior to digging.
So you mean to tell me that there are just these pipe lines that are there and we don't know anything about it? I mean, someone had to put those pipes in, right?
Yes. All of the new pipelines are being mapped.
But there were some that were prior to, like, how far do these go?
Old. Oh, some of these run hundreds of miles.
But how old are they?
Oh, some were buried in the, 50, 60, 70 years ago. There's some old ones.
And they didn't think to actually put a map together of these?
Back then, there was very little regulation. And so, no, not at all.
So, David, you're working in the oil industry now. Okay. And so your job is to find out all these things. What's your background to do this?
Well, actually, it's funny. My background is actually in geology. And that's what I started off doing. Doing environmental geophysics. I then moved on to working as a geologist, a mud logger, on a drilling rig. What we did there is we would log the rock samples that came out of the drilling well every 20 feet. And a lot of these oil wells out here are about, on average, 18 to 20,000 feet deep. And so we would make a geologic record of how the geology changes from the surface all the way to where we get the oil. We also look for the zone where the oil's at. And with the new technology, we do a lot of horizontal drilling. So my job is to keep an eye out for the oil zone. Once we do, we can turn the drill bit and drill horizontal for about 2 miles. I mean, just horizontal.
So there's a lot of technology, yep. And it seems to me like you guys are actually doing a lot of study, and you are a geologist, which means you really do care for the earth.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that you're an oil guy and therefore you hate the earth because you're just destroying it. So let's just jump right into the politics of oil.
Yes, and actually it's the same argument, I think, that people make for people who like to hunt. A lot of people are outdoorsy people and they like to hunt, and a lot of detractors would say, well, you can't like the outdoors and nature if you like to hunt and kill. I think that's a little bit of a silly argument.
But we've seen movies where, I can't remember the one movie, and it had...
With Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, exactly, and
Deepwater Horizon.
Maybe, it might have been that, but it was the guy that plays on,
There Will Be Blood?
Nope. Well, let me put it this way. Let's not worry about the movie itself. It's just, it was about fraction?
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and basically, it was all about what digging for oil has done to America. It's destroying it because... You know, first of all, it's bad for the environment, and then it's creating these fault lines, and it's causing a whole mess of things here.
Well, fracking is a pretty new technology.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty new technology, not very old. And that goes into the whole thing I said about horizontal drilling. That's the ones we frack. Now, here there's fracking all around you within a 10-mile radius. I can guarantee you at least a dozen companies are fracking. We're not getting earthquakes, so really, because it's kind of a new thing, it's still early in the research.
Matt Damon, that's the guy I'm talking about. Matt Damon.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember he was like,
it
just got very political on me. I mean, it was a solid movie, but it was all about not digging for oil because it's just bad for the earth, and I just want to know all about it.
I think what people have more problem with is the fracking. The drilling itself is not, it's not going to do anything, but the fracking is what supposedly is causing some of the earthquakes, and that actually depends on the local geology. If you have some faults, which can be activated, there's a potential for that.
Sure.
And that's
what about
is.
Just oil in general and how it's bad for the environment? Because I hear that all the time. Tell me about this.
Well... We need it. Everything comes from oil, not just gasoline,
rubber. We can't survive without oil.
No, we cannot. If we were to just to say that we can stop using oil is a delusional thing. I mean, transportation runs on oil. Everything.
Sure.
We have our food delivered via trucks, which run on oil and gas. And sure, they're making some electrical ones, but I do encourage renewable energy, but it's still in its early stages. So we can't just shut this off. And to say that we can survive without oil, I don't think so. Because even if America does, other countries aren't going to look at our example. I mean, and also air transportation.
Well, you say people won't look at America's example. What do you mean by that?
No, I don't think so. Because we can be so far ahead with renewable energy, but so many other countries still rely. They're still kind of behind in technology. They rely on oil and gas.
Yeah, they don't have the technology to do like wind tunnels and and all of the solar things. That's it's a lot of work.
Yes, and I hope to see that, but we need to let sort of the market decide for
itself.
Is
there more drilling now under Trump's administration than in previous? I mean, we hear about that politically, like he just hates the environment. And he might. I have no idea. I mean, but you've been working in this for how long?
For about 4 years.
Okay, and so you've actually seen 2 years of Obama's administration and 2 years
of
Trump's.
Yes, and actually it peaked mostly during Obama's administration.
What peak?
From 2000, oil, the price of oil.
The price of oil?
Yes, the barrel. It started rising around 2008, peaked around 2013, 14, and then dropped in 2015. Now we're kind of on a rise again.
Where's that rise coming from? I don't understand how they actually develop the cost of or the barrels of oil.
Neither do I. All I do is I look at the price of gasoline, and if it's going up, there's probably going to be more drilling activity. But it's a very volatile market. It's real hard to just say it's supply and demand. People want to drive more, there's going to be more drilling. No, you see, there's wars in the Middle East, and all of a sudden, and the price of gasoline doubles or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real hard to determine. It's a very volatile market. Very.
It's very volatile now. In Texas, there's a lot of oil rigs. I mean, I see them. It's the number one.
Yes, and this part of Texas specifically has the most in the country. I think about half.
Midland, Odessa.
Permian Basin.
And so, okay, the Permian Basin. And I'm looking around flying into Midland Airport, and it's just absolutely flat. And you see, I guess, where the oil rigs are, where the pumps are.
Yeah, and from the air, you can see all of West Texas looks like a checkerboard with little squares everywhere.
And circles.
The circles are for crops.
The
but
circles
if you see
are crops.
The little
okay.
squares, each one of those squares, and you see thousands of them, is an oil well.
Really? Do they really just kind of gush oil out? And
no, the process for drilling, to give you a quick background, they drill it, and then while they're drilling it, they can pump fluid in to keep the oil from coming up. Then they can shut in the well once the drilling rig moves out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they bring in those pump jacks, the ones that look like horses.
Yep.
And those, for the next several decades, I mean, 20, 30 years, they can produce oil, just sucking out oil with each stroke.
Okay, and this oil, it's a natural product that the earth produces?
Yes.
Where is oil coming from?
Oil is what we call a hydrocarbon. So it was originally carbon-based life. And that's also why they call it fossil fuels. A lot of animals, dinosaurs, you can say, that became buried in the earth through the earth's geologic process, get heated up. And through other chemical process and the absence of oxygen, they become hydrocarbons. They become oil
You're
and
gas. You're
kidding
me. So
one day you're going to be a barrel of oil.
But even in a casket?
Oh, maybe not.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how that works. Like, because there were only so many dinosaurs.
Yes, but through millions of years, it accumulates.
So, like, when an animal dies?
Yes.
And it just kind of sits there?
Yes.
It'll eventually turn into oil.
Right, but not at the surface of the earth. The way the earth works, things that you see at the surface now were once buried, and things that were buried were once at the surface.
Okay, let me just think about like an animal that I see dying on the side of the road, okay?
Yes.
Like, I've got to be really dumb about this, but you just see an animal on the side of the road, kind of gross, and you're saying that eventually it'll break down.
Yes.
And it'll enter into the soil.
Yes.
And that, whatever it is that has entered into the soil, turns into...
Well, if you want to get more deep into this, we're above sea level right now. Eventually,
correct,
with the movement of the plate tectonics, this whole region is going to end up under sea level. In fact, a lot of these places around West Texas, you can find fossils like seashells.
Seashells.
Well, this used to be underwater. It will be underwater again. When we get underwater, we have the weight of water above us, and on top of that, sediment is going to keep depositing.
You just said that we're going to be underwater eventually.
Yes, we are.
Is that because of global warming?
Well, that's something different, but I'm just talking geology, solid earth.
Okay, so solid earth. Oh, dang, I had no idea that geology was this exciting.
Yeah, we do more than just lick rocks. That's what they called us in
lick
college.
Lick rocks. Though. I never thought about licking a rock.
They called us the rock lickers.
That's really odd. Why would you lick a rock?
Well, you can lick some of them, like
Why would you lick a rock?
Because to identify it, halite is naturally occurring salt. So you can, I identify this as salt. It tastes like salt.
Got it. Okay, so geology is way more exciting, and you're telling me that the tectonic something or other.
Tectonic plate movement.
In the earth?
The crust floats on the mantle, if you want to look at it that way.
Okay.
The way things move, some rocks end up above others.
Okay.
They go down.
Okay.
They end up under the ocean. More rocks get piled up.
Okay.
And eventually, the animals that are down here are going to be 10,000 feet below the surface. And,
okay.
And through a heating process and other biological processes.
How much oil is there then?
Well, we can keep finding new formations. Not too long ago, one of the local companies around here just discovered a new gas field near Fort Stockton about 2 hours that way, 2 hours southwest of here.
Okay, and you're saying that's a, what kind of reserve is it?
That's a natural gas.
Natural gas. Okay,
yes.
So what's the difference between gas and oil?
Well, just that oil is a liquid, natural gas.
Oh, I sound like a dummy, don't I?
No. But the geology is different because you see the way oil is stored in the earth, it's stored in rocks, and rocks act like a sponge.
Do you think that people who work in this industry really don't care for the earth? I mean, there's a lot of environmental people who just think that you're just evil people that work in the oil industry.
Yes.
In the coal industry, especially.
I wouldn't say environmental people, just the loud ones, the ones that you hear on TV, the ones that are very extreme. In fact, I haven't met somebody on the opposite extreme who just says, I don't care about the earth, I just want to ravage it.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, people are out here to make money and support a family, and it just so happens to be.
Well, and kind of survive.
Yeah, just so happens to be that it's a high-paying industry, so a lot of people emigrate out to
Texas. It is a high-paying industry.
Very, yes.
So you could be wealthy working, you're rich, in other words, doing what you're doing.
I wouldn't say I'm rich, but I came out here from California because the wages was double what I was making back home.
Yeah?
Easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And wow. And so the idea of working with oil and gas is a different thing. So it's just a different form of the oil, right?
Basically, you can turn them both into fuel.
Well, what is coal?
Coal, I'm not too familiar with. That's a separate industry. But coal occurs a lot shallower because, like I said, a lot of these oil reserves here are about 10,000 feet deep.
Yep.
Coal is a little more shallower, and you mine it with big, heavy machinery. And, I mean, you can almost see it at the surface of the earth sometimes.
And people really are, I mean, do you think, just from a professional scientific point of view, that we're ever going to run out of fossil fuels?
Yes.
It's
going to be a long time, though.
It will be, what do you mean, like a long time?
Well, they say that some of these newly discovered fields, including the ones up in North Dakota, just alone in the United States, can produce oil and gas for the next 100 years, which, in my opinion, is awesome because that gives enough time for renewable energy to kind of catch up, and eventually it's going to have to take over. It has to. We're going to run out of
renewable
fossil
energy.
Fuel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
And which is why I don't really like it when a lot of people say, we need to stop oil production and just focus on renewable energy.
We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back to shoot the shiitake more with David Koss. We are talking oil. We're talking Texas. And that also means some politics. We'll be right back in just a moment. If you are trying to make sense of the politics in our country, do not fear. For our premium subscribers, I'm going to have a special show talking about the document Lumen Gentium that actually speaks about politics in the modern world. So for all of our premium subscribers, and even if you want to just pick up this show and purchase it, you can simply go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com or subscribe and support us with only a $10 donation each month. You get special premium content delivered right to your mailbox, and all you've got to do to support us so that we can bring about conversion one conversation at a time. And this week again, I am going to share with you how to find peace in this crazy political world. All you got to do is visit me at shootthesheetake.com. Again, shootthesheetake, that's 2eyes.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. With me for this deep dish discussion, I am talking to David Koss. He is a geologist by trade. Now he is mapping out oil lines. That's crazy. And you're saying that there's a lot of oil lines out there that we don't even know anything about.
Yes.
And so we got to be careful with it because obviously this is a dangerous industry.
That is correct.
And so, but originally you said that you were from California and now you are literally in kind of Southwest heartland, Texas. What part of California, first of all?
Southern California, LA area.
Okay.
A pretty blue part, a very blue part of the country.
Oh, I would say it's pretty blue. And now you're in like Redville here.
A very red, velvet red.
Velvet red. Let's talk a little politics here.
Okay.
Because oil is very political.
Yes.
I mean, just environment is political.
Yes.
But you guys are facing some serious politics here. When did you move out here?
2015.
So 2015. What are the biggest differences between California and Texas?
Well, obviously, politically speaking, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. But one thing I've noticed is people are a lot nicer in Texas. At least here, people will greet you. They say hello to you.
Well, it's a small town.
But I get this anywhere I go in Texas. I get a lot of yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. I don't get that in California.
Yeah, but strange because, I mean, California, let's just admit it here. I mean, there's a lot of Latinos.
Yes.
There's a lot of South American. There's a lot there in California, too. And you're saying that they're meaner there?
In general, not necessarily mean as in a
personal
way, but more rude.
I mean, I don't
want to
like poo-poo on California.
More, I will.
Well, okay, you can. Go ahead.
No, people are more rude, a lot more.
Yeah, and they're snobby.
Yes, definitely.
I've seen some of that snobbiness. Okay. But generally, it's from people who aren't necessarily Californian. They go there because it's like where the rich, powerful, and famous are.
That is true.
And
also,
they kind of look down at Texas as like a bunch of rednecks, and not all, but mm-hmm. you know, they kind of look as like, ah, that's new money.
and Texans kind of look down on California for the exact opposite.
Exactly.
Reason. Spoiled
and that's
brats.
Fake money. Yeah. So
go.
we got a lot of this distinction, but like right now, there's serious issues when it comes to politics. You know,
yes.
Obviously there are forces that want to change Texas from a Republican state to a Democratic state. And right now, huge controversy with Beto versus Cruz.
Yes.
Like, what's it like here? Because we see it on the news and it sounds like it's absolutely maddening.
Well, I would consider myself a Cruz supporter.
Oh, I'm not even asking about that, but you can say anything you want.
Okay.
But I'm just saying about what's the tenor in the environment?
Well,
is it really as crazy as it looks?
I was going to get to that. See, I think Beto started campaigning a lot earlier, and for a while, the only thing you saw, even here in Midland, it was Beto signs in front of people's homes. They even talked about that on the radio a lot. And it got a lot of the people on the right side to say, wow, nobody's really supporting Cruz. And Cruz finally kind of stepped up his game, and now you start seeing a lot of Cruz stuff. But it's been heated, and I've watched the debates, and they're pretty heated. They're kind of nasty between both of them.
Yeah, I mean, so politics aside, there's also this idea of immigration that's coming. You know, I mean, obviously there's even like a wave of people coming into Texas.
Yes.
I mean, there's like only a few ways to get into America from South America.
Yeah.
Texas and California are one of them.
Yes.
So what's been the sense of it all? Because what I'm trying to do is get a sense of what it's like really, because the news makes it seem like there are wars between people. Mm-hmm. And is that true between some of the different supporters? And what's it like for Texans trying to brace for this immigration?
You know, I think the political divisions between people were never that big until the last election, the presidential election. I've noticed on TV everywhere there's been a lot more division between people. And now people are being a little more outspoken. Any restaurant you go to, you can hear somebody bringing up politics. And you never heard that before until after the presidential election and including up to this one that's going on for the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, even in your industry, is there politics to be played or do people generally vote one way in the oil industry?
Yes, people generally just vote one way. In fact, if you go out into the oil field, if you want to make a joke, say something about liberals and that just kind of everybody laughs. That's
so they are the kind of the punching bag of the people in the
yes,
oil
industry.
Yes,
definitely in the oil industry.
Okay.
Not necessarily everywhere, because you do have actually a pretty vibrant liberal kind of culture here too, kind of growing a little
in
bit.
In Texas or
oh,
in
do?
Midland?
Yeah,
Austin for sure.
Austin for sure. That's the heart of it. But even here in Midland, you have a little bit of it and it's kind of growing. And I think they're gaining some ground.
Why? Why would they do that? Why does it gain ground?
Another part of the reason is you have a lot of people come here like myself who leave states like California
mm-hmm.
and they bring their ideologies with them.
Okay. So there is certainly, well, it's so expensive in California, they can't afford living there, so they have to take over other states in a way, and it does bleed with that mentality. Mm-hmm. And do you see, though, I mean, you've been here long enough, it's not very healthy right now, is
no.
it?
No, I in fact, I don't like to bring up politics anywhere I go because I know I'm going to divide the room in, well, here maybe like 75-25, but just I don't want division.
Sure.
I don't. I like dialogue. I have a friend who loves to bring up politics and argue with people. I really don't.
Yeah, and so let's just be very honest. The reason why I'm even interviewing you, David Koss, who is, again, a pipeline mapper, and he is also a transplant from California to Texas. The reason why we're even talking is because you are my driver at this conference. First of all, I'd love to hear what your thoughts of the conference are. The conference is going. It's for young adults. It's your first time doing something like this.
Yes, man, we've put a lot of work. We worked every week for the last couple of months to get this set up. We started off kind of just working with the church, and we wanted to keep growing and hopefully make it a diocesan-wide thing. But the speakers have been great. You were great. I mean, adoration was great and all. I'm having a blast. I'm having a complete blast this weekend.
Okay, but let's talk about your Catholicism now.
Okay.
And how does it kind of affect environment? You know, you hear Holy Father Francis talking about caring for the earth. How do you kind of reconcile the work that you do with oil and with, you know, environment, and, you know, you see the smog coming up into the air with your Catholic faith?
Well, it becomes a problem when you are directly trying to destroy the earth. We have a responsibility to care for the earth. At the same time, we can also use the resources. I mean, God gave us dominion over all of the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, if you're not directly trying to just destroy the earth, I don't see it as a problem at all. It kind of goes hand
in hand.
Does
it leave the earth a little kind of empty?
Oh, yes. But I mean, everything we do is going to leave it empty, no matter what resource we take.
Sure.
Unless it's renewable, which is why I think it's awesome that renewable energy is doing what it's doing, because eventually it's going to have to catch up and take over for
the rest
of...
Yeah, you've said that before. That's an interesting image of catching up and eventually taking over.
Yes, catching up, not having our tax dollars just completely just, you know, shut off oil and support one industry, but I hope to see it.
Okay, so you're talking about a little bit more division. How much, like, if you had the chance of saying every dollar should be divided up this way, how much of it would go to oil, how much should go to, like, wind, and how much should go to solar?
Well, if you're asking me personally, as a small government kind of guy,
sure.
on kind of the libertarian side, I'd say none. I really don't like subsidies too much. I'd rather just let the market decide. And obviously, the market calls for a lot more oil. I mean, airplanes run on oil, cars run on oil, plastics, everything. Rubber tires are made of oil.
Well, that's an interesting concept. You're actually not allowing the government to be as involved as opposed to free market.
Right, right.
So free market should be what is paying for itself to develop renewable energies. It shouldn't be coming out of our tax dollars.
And
but that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And I believe in education too. Educate the people, let them know that we're going to run out of oil, that we need to support renewable energy. And little by little, as maybe the price of fuel goes up, people are going to start supporting renewable energy. And eventually, given many decades, it'll catch up and it'll take over. It needs to.
And so how does your Catholic faith, that's a great answer to have your Catholic faith with the oil. How about your Catholic faith with voting, especially in Texas with all the craziness that's happening?
Well, I always vote pro-life. Even some people say, well, you're a libertarian. You're supposed to be a pro-choice. And
do they really think that libertarian is pro-choice?
A lot of people do, because they say if you're about small government, don't let the government come in and tell a woman
what to
do.
Do you think you're an informed voter? Would you consider yourself an informed voter?
As opposed to the average person, yes.
Okay, and what does that mean? How are you becoming a little bit more informed than an average
voter? I love reading books a lot. I read a lot about philosophy and some politics. I read a little bit about law. Most people just watch either Fox News or CNN, and they get, and I actually watch both because I like to get the left and the right, and then I'll make my decision then.
Got it. Okay. And so your Catholic faith, you say you want to, as a libertarian, always vote for the respect for life. So
yes.
Abortion. And so you basically are saying that government money shouldn't go to abortion.
Nope.
And abortion should be illegal?
Yes.
But what about if a woman does have an abortion? What should happen to her as a punishment?
Well, if we lived in a perfectly just society, which is impossible, she'd go to jail, and so would the abortionist.
For the abortion, she would go to jail.
Right, because it's murder. Just because I'm a libertarian, I don't support murder. Yeah. That's out of the question. That shouldn't even be a political issue. Just no murder, period. And murdering an embryo is murder.
How long should she be in jail for?
Well, that's going to be something that I would have to read into and look at, compare it to other sentences for murdering your neighbor. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. That I'd leave it up to law, but there should be consequences.
Should be consequences.
Yeah, I believe there should.
As a libertarian, because you actually sound more of like a diehard, like some people would say, like a
Republican?
Red, yeah, red Republican.
I side with Republicans on a lot of issues. So okay. For a while, I was kind of considering myself a libertarian-leaning Republican, and I'm kind of in that area.
Okay.
But for a lot of market stuff,
I'm What about like I'm some of the friends? I mean, do you usually hang around people that are very similar to you?
Actually, yes, a lot of my friends are... some are libertarian, some are Republican, and I do have some that are very liberal. And when they try to bring up an argument, they say, "Man, just shut up. We're going to argue. Please stop."
Because you're a young adult.
Uh-huh.
Like, how do you try to maintain this kind of sense of peace with your friends who may have different backgrounds?
Well, as I was saying, we're buddies, so I can kind of talk to them just like my buddy, but I'll immediately say, "Be quiet. I'm not going to talk to you about politics, man. You know, you already know I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change my mind either. So let's
really,
go grab
you guys
a beer."
Can't change each other's minds. You can't actually present argumentation and facts that kind of lead to.
No, there's always an element of pride, even on my side.
Okay.
But definitely on their side too. And it's not going to, I've tried. It's not going to happen.
Wow. That's okay. Not, yeah. And so are you a typical Texan now, or are you still a California at heart?
No, you see, part of the reason I left California because it was too blue. I'm kind of Republican too, as I was saying.
Okay.
I'm a conservative guy overall.
Okay.
And so I like it here better. I can buy a gun and within a few minutes I can get it. Whereas in California, I have to wait, you know, like a 10-day background check, and I'm presumed to be a criminal. I don't like any of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's government intrusion. So I'm happier here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, there's so much about the climate, and you just happened to have been the guy to pick me up, but you really had some things unique to offer. Let me ask you this question. It'll be kind of like a final one here for this quicker version of Shoot the Shiitake. How can I be a good priest for you? And then also maybe you can tell me how I could be a good priest for people who are more environmentally, how shall I say, attentive, not that you aren't. But like, first of all, let me ask you, how can I be a good priest for someone like you?
That's kind of a deep question. Let me
see. I'm not kidding. That's why we're shooting the shiitake here, David. That's what I do. I'm not a shallow guy.
Well, I'm pretty strong in my faith. I'm actually a reaver to the faith, and I'm pretty strong. So it doesn't take much to get me to be very attentive at Mass. Any priest will do. For the average person...
No, but I'm talking about for you.
Okay, for me?
Like, if I challenged you in some of your... more diehard Republican things, would that be helpful, or is it?
No, one thing that I actually wish priests would do is give harder penances after confession.
Really?
Yes, honestly, I think that if one commits a mortal sin, which I've been guilty of before, they say, okay, go see a couple of Our Fathers. For me, that's not enough. I went to Latin Mass one time, and he gave me like 50 Hail Marys for something simple. But I think penances are way too easy, way too easy. I want a priest to tell me, say 1,000 Hail Marys. I'd love to hear that one day.
I could never do that. Because so in my carryout order, I am going to review like some of the practice of penance. But so like one of the things that I might be able to offer is oftentimes Republicans, and they might be right on some issues, they're so hard on that law that they forget that there's a sense of mercy and it's easy.
Mm.
So I mean, the fact is that someone might be giving you, you know, 3 Hail Marys. Granted, that might be a cheap way of approaching the confession. And I do think that there needs to be a substantial penance.
Yes.
But 1,000 Hail Marys?
I do that to myself, actually.
But that's the point. It's like, whoa, maybe the only thing that I could do is tell you to lighten up.
Now, 1,000 would have been an exaggeration, but I actually got in my way to do that. I will put 1,000 on my phone, and every time I do a Hail Mary, I check one off.
Yeah, but I mean, what is that going to do? What is that going to do for your spirituality?
Because as a form of penance, I see it as... I suffer a little more here. I'll do a little bit less in purgatory.
So here's what my penance would be if ever you came to me for confession.
Okay.
I'd make you have a real honest conversation with your liberal friends.
That would be hard. Actually, man, that would take a lot out of my purgatory.
There you go. No, how then what do you think I could do for people in Texas, knowing that there's a lot of division right now, and ultimately the advice that you're going to get from me would be the advice that I give back to you. Here's what you need to do to be a peacemaker. But what do you think that I, as a priest, or a priest can do in the midst of all the political crap that's going on right now? What do you think a priest needs to be doing?
Depending on where you're at, I think you can kind of side with the political beliefs of the people, because a lot of Catholics in this area are
to
pretty...
To agree with the political beliefs of the people.
Well, a little bit. See, a lot of the Catholics here are pretty conservative, too. And when you have... I know some of the bishops have been very outspoken about gun violence, and they say, we don't need guns. If you say that here, you're going to have a lot of people kind of angry. I'm not saying you need to say, go buy a gun, but if you start, you know, challenging, say, gun rights, you might have some people leaving. If you don't...
But if a priest were to say, you know, we need to be a lot more attentive to not the... to unlimited accessibility to guns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would probably be something people don't want to hear.
Yes, so you can not say things like that. That would, as the new word is now, trigger people. If you trigger people, they won't come to church.
So to not trigger people, that's
don't
what you're telling
people.
Me not to do.
I think so.
Dude, you're gonna hate my carryout order because I'm going to trigger people all day. I just think that there needs to be a balance to it all, you know? I mean, personally. But that's exactly why we're shooting the shiitake here.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of wanted to get to the heart and mind of people to see what it's like, especially in battleground states like this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this show is going to air after the election between Beto and Cruz. And frankly, I couldn't care less at this stage who is going to win. I just want them to uphold the law and to do their dumb job, you know, to do their...
And neither Democrats nor Republicans can do that. Like you were saying earlier, they can both be pretty dumb.
Yeah, yeah,
they really
believe
can.
Me.
And Cruz is one of the only Republicans I like, but overall, it's kind of why I side a little bit with the Libertarian. I'll find a little bit of balance.
Well, this is what we're talking about, balance. And that's almost like the theme for this show that came about. We have to make sure that we've got, obviously, renewable energy and investment towards that. But at the same time, what's the investment going to come from? Especially knowing that oil is the only thing that's really sustaining our world right now. And then, of course, you moving from one left to the other far right, how does one maintain balance? Does it require me to sometimes trigger people and kind of admonish them? Maybe so.
Yep.
Maybe so. But this has been interesting. David Koss, again, you are my special guest here on Shoot the Shiitake. When I come back, I'll give you my brief carry out order to kind of help get some balance out of it all. But I'll tell you, you seem like a pretty balanced guy. Thank you so much there are a lot of things balanced about you. There might be things that are imbalanced about you. It's only been a brief conversation.
Yeah.
But thanks for joining me. And when I come back, I'll be giving you my carry out order as we continue to shoot the shiitake with me, Father Leo. If you or your parish is looking for a fantastic organization that can certainly satisfy what you and your families are hungering for, I offer what is called a Feed My Faith event. It is either a one-night presentation of speeches and inspiring messages with some beautiful music, or even a two-night event where I'll actually cook for you and all of those people who come, because we're all hungering to have our hearts and minds touched with the love of God, but I go through the stomach. So if you want to learn more about booking a Feed My Faith event at your parish, just simply go to fatherleofeeds.com/events and we'll be in touch with you so that we can create a menu that satisfies what everyone is hungering for, the love of God. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for this carryout order. And I gotta say that, you know, it's really awesome when I get a chance to meet people just
right off the bat, and they're kind of a little nervous about doing an interview, but this guy was great. And I think the number one thing that I come out with in talking with David Koss is balance. We're all searching for it. You know, he claimed to have been an independent, yet some of his ideas were very Republican. And yet, you know, he's a Latino. I'm sure that he has a great desire to be welcoming to immigrants who might be coming to our country, whether legally or illegally. I'm sure he has compassion. But you can see how difficult it is to maintain balance. So, for example, you know, towards the end of the conversation, he said it would be best for Priest not to trigger anyone by challenging them. And he raised that one particular issue about gun control. And that's a huge thing for me because, look, I travel around the world and I do know that guns are a part of culture. It's just a part of culture. But how many do we need? And how do we provide opportunities and background checks and such like that in order to prevent an abuse to the right? Let's just admit it. There are abuses to the right. And so at this event, I was speaking to a group of young adults. I was sitting at a dinner table and talking to truly, a Republican card carrying gun owner, and he loves guns. He tells me that he and his family own hundreds and hundreds of guns because it's just for them a hobby. Look, for me personally, I don't own a gun, but I do believe that people have the right to own a gun. And so I just simply asked him, how do we go about, you know, protecting people from those who want to abuse the right to own guns? Like, how many guns does a person need? And then more importantly, how do we kind of do a background check for it all? And so I kind of threw out this idea of when somebody purchases a gun, they have to have someone who can vouch for their mental stability, that they'll have a relationship with that person. It could be a family member, it could be a doctor, or it could even be, you know, like, and he mentioned that there are lawyers that legally own the guns, even though it's in the possession of their clients who purchased the gun, but the lawyer, in a way, vouches for that person. And so it basically requires all of us to enter into a relationship with anyone who has a gun. In other words, if I knew that someone had a gun and I want to vouch for them because it's their right to own a gun, I have no trouble putting my name and telephone number on a form that says, you know, I am of a sound, sane mind and I believe that person X has the ability to own a gun and I can put my name next to this person's name as a gun owner and I'll vouch for him. You know, and it creates a little bit of a tension and a relationship. And he even mentioned to me, this person I was talking to, including Dave Koss, would probably admit, I don't know if that is a good idea because it might limit people's ability to get guns. It might limit people's ability to, you know, sell guns. And I thought, well, good. You know, in my honest opinion, the one thing that can bring about balance, and that's what we're talking about here, is a relationship. Relationships, healthy relationships can bring about challenges. So even if I know somebody has the right to own 1,000 guns, and fine, own 1,000 guns, I honestly don't care. But if I knew that my name was attached to you owning guns, you better believe that I'm going to have a relationship with you so that if I see you actually go through some funk and depression and you're getting sad about something and you're starting to get a little weird, you better believe I am going to confront you and say, hey, I'm taking your guns because I'm afraid that you're going to do something crazy. Or I'm going to report you to the cops and say, hey, my name is on a document that says he should have guns, but this person X is starting to act a little weird. You better pay attention to him because he has 1,000 guns. You see, all I'm trying to do is remind people that if you really want to have balance in this world, you have to have good and healthy relationships, which is exactly what is not happening. So here's what I learned from David, that he is a balanced individual. I really do hear this. He's a very balanced person who's trying to think independently. He reads an awful lot. He knows that fossil fuels are not going to last forever, and he wants there to be a balance with how we get our energy, whether it be from fossil fuels or coal, or even from renewable sources like wind and obviously solar. But he doesn't want our tax money to go to that. That actually sounds like I don't know, there could be a little bit of balance there. There needs to be some funding, in my opinion, some funding to get something like this off the ground because we're all in this together. How much? I don't know. I know that it shouldn't be as much as government sometimes puts into these things because I do believe it's going to be a free market that works their tail off in order to provide, you know, alternative solutions to energy. So it's got to be a balance. And so in our Catholic faith, we could either be either or we could be both and. And so what I saw in David Koss is a man who continues to struggle to be balanced. And that's a good thing. You know, he might have strong opinions one way, but in a way he was willing to at least learn another alternative, you know, like for example, when I challenged him because he wanted to have 1,000 Hail Marys as a penance. I'm sorry, if you're a priest and you give someone 1,000 Hail Marys as a penance, well, man, that's a little over the top in my opinion. But I gave him another challenge and I said, I want you to have a healthy conversation with people that you disagree with politically. That's a little bit more of a realistic approach because why? It's based on relationships. And that's the key. A balanced person is one who has balanced relationships. I truly am very friendly and loving even with ultra liberals. Truly, ultra, ultra liberals. These are, whew, super libs. I mean, you can't even mention clergy abuse without them going off the rail. But yet, I can still have a dinner with them and we know when and in what way to talk about the divisive things. And then I'm also friends with some super uber traditional conservatives. We call them traddies. That sounds so odd, but it's true. We call them traddies. And yet I'm friends with them and I love them. And why? Because I think a balanced person experiences the dynamic tension of loving both the sinners and the saints that are actually found in both camps of ultra-liberals and ultra-conservatives. We need to find balance. And if you start just kind of shutting down people and not giving them a chance to speak, now that's a problem. So I say this because, you know, by now, the great state of Texas elected either Beto or Cruz. You can see just how much I am as involved in these political matters. But I just know that prior to the election, there was truly an unhinged approach by many people. Some on the side who are conservative, but I will admit, and you know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I saw a lot more imbalance on the liberal side of things. The liberals who kind of supported Beto. You saw that in kind of like the unhinged emotional kind of support and the emotional unhinged anger against Cruz and his supporters. You know, I'm seeing a lot of this, and here I think is the reason why people aren't looking at issues in a balanced way. We are looking more at a cultic personality, and we kind of invest all of our energy and time into his personality. I will admit, Beto seems to be a lot more pleasant of a man than Cruz does, in my opinion. I don't know Cruz, but Beto just seems a lot more kind of natural and a lot more kind of folksy, which is why I think a lot of people like him. And if he's your congressman, hey, then have at it. Congratulations. I couldn't care less. I want them all just to do their job. And the way that they do their job is if they have an authentic relationship with both their constituents and their political enemies. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to come to a point in our lives when we can actually just say, I disagree with you, but you know what? I care about you. And more importantly, I will serve you. So we're talking about being more balanced. And guess what? In my premium content, which all of our subscribers who donate $10 or more each month, I'm going to actually talk about Lumen Gentium, a Vatican II document. Actually, it's a constitution of Vatican II that kind of teaches us how to find peace in a crazy political world. So all you've got to do, and I really need your support, is just donate $10 or more each month. You get extra shows, extra content, and more importantly, we get a chance to create conversions through our healthy Shoot the Shiitake conversation. So we hope you enjoyed this special show. And between now and the next time we talk, stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by Guadalupe Radio Network in conjunction with SelectInternationalTours.com for a special Danube River cruise on November 3rd through the 13th, 2019. And please don't forget to share this podcast with family, friends, and parishioners. Encourage them to subscribe to this podcast on their favorite podcast platforms. And once again, we thank you for your support. Premium subscribers at only $10 each month as a donation provides these opportunities to bring about conversions one conversation at a time. And you can learn more and support us at shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.